But now a 1-2 count to Onyade, who's looking to get on base for the second time today. And Onyade doubled his last time up. It was for two RBIs in the third. This one grounded down the third baseline and just foul. So once more, it'll be 1-2. And that two RBI double in the third inning was big for the Rafters. Every run at this point has been big, even though they haven't all felt the same. 1-2 count on the way. High chopper over to third. Picked up the throw across the diamond. It is in time as the 5-3 putout gets the first batter of the fifth inning. Rafters and Rivets are tied at 10 after a 5-run bottom of the fourth inning by the Rivets knotted things up. The Rafters had 3 runs in each of the first 3 innings before a 1-run fourth inning kind of stopped their momentum. And now Aiden Wagley into the game. He is 1 up, 1 down. New batter at the plate. This is the right-hander, Akko, who sends one high in the air towards center field, but doesn't get enough carry on it, and it's caught in straightaway center by Harrison Bowman for out number 2. Brings up Andre Madunio to the plate. The right-handed hitting DH, who's up for the fourth time today, and Madunio looking to come through for the Rafters. There are 2 outs and nobody on in the top of the fifth. There is yet to be a half inning where a team doesn't score at least 1 run. The innings for the Rafters have gone 3-3-3-1 in terms of runs scored, and for the Rivets, 2-2-1-5. First pitch to Madunio is a little low for ball number 1, and Madunio, 2-for-3 in the game, his last time up, grounded out 5-3 in the third inning. That was after he had the solo shot to follow up Madonaco's home run in the second. 1-0 count on the way. Big swing and a miss from Madunio makes it 1-1. Madunio had an RBI single in the first inning as well, so he's got a pair of RBIs and a pair of runs scored as well. 1-1 count with 2 away, and the base is empty in the top of the fifth. Pitch comes home. It's right at the belt buckle for strike number 2. And Madunio still proving that he's one of the best batters on this team, and he had been batting very well entering this game outside of his last performance where he went 0-for-4. 1-2 count, misses low. It's now 2-2, and Madunio looking to do more damage. He's got 2 home runs in his Rafters career now. His 2 home runs are tied for 2nd on the team. You guys have done that, including Jack Guerrero, who we'll see a little bit later. Luke Skinner, another guy who's got multiple home runs. This pitch misses high for ball number 3, but Skinner, he's been battling an injury over the past week and a half, really ever since that series at Lakeshore earlier, however many days ago that was. 3-2 count to the right-handed hitting Madunio. 2 away, nobody on in the top of the fifth. Pitch comes home and a swing and a miss and a great off-speed from Aiden Wagley as he goes 3 up, 3 down in the top of the fifth. First scoreless inning for either team. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left. And it is 10-10 as we hit the bottom of the fifth here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Econ Electric, Inc., based in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, dedicates itself to delivering cutting-edge and dependable residential electrical contractor services. Whether it's a new home or enhancing existing ones, their commitment spans every detail. The success lies in offering residential electrical services tailored to your lifestyle and property. Proudly serving central Wisconsin, including Stevens Point, Plover, Lakes Area, and Wisconsin Rapids. Experience the comfort and security of a Generac generator and the excellent customer service of Econ Electric, Inc. now.
Better begins with the way we treat each other, the way we listen to one another, and the way we serve and support each other. At Aspirus Health, better begins with a commitment to help build healthy families, healthy relationships, and healthy communities throughout a lifetime, from generation to generation. For whatever needs to be better in your life, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
When it comes to heating and cooling homes in central Wisconsin, make the call to the Bullpen for Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. For more than 25 years, the Bryan experts have done whatever it takes to keep homeowners like you comfortable, from simple repairs and services to complete HVAC replacements and beyond. So no matter what you need, you'll know that their team has your back.
Need HVAC service now? Schedule yours by visiting comfortair.biz.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Into the bottom of the fifth, and the Rafters looking for Ashton Poole to turn it around after he was roughed up a little bit in the bottom of the fourth inning. He came in as a reliever for Seth Spencer, and Spencer, his line is finished after two inherited runners come home to score. Both of them were earned runs. So Spencer's final line, he goes three innings pitched, allowing 10 hits, two walks, eight runs, six of them are earned, three strikeouts, no hit batters, no wild pitches, 21 total batters faced in 77 pitches. Ashton Poole in his first inning allowed three hits, no walks, no strikeouts, two runs and one earned run in his one inning. Breaking ball here misses behind the leadoff man, Harrison Bowman. So now a 1-0 count, and Bowman, the top of the card for the Rivets, and up for the fourth time today. He leads off the bottom of the fifth inning, tied 10-10. 1-0 count is a little inside for ball number two, 2-0, and Bowman hit the home run to lead off the fourth inning and really get the momentum in the Rivets' favor. Since then, they have gone to score four more unanswered runs past the home run as that pitch again misses inside. It's 3-0, and Poole, no walks on the game yet, but and he is really just hoping to find his spot. Every ball that has been hit of his has found the outfield, and whether it's in somebody's glove or not, the 3-0 count comes in and it hits the zone for strike number one. 3-1 the count, and the Rafters trying to keep winning. They have won two of their last three after having previously lost eight in a row. 3-1 count. This one misses inside, and it hits Bowman for a hit-by-pitch. He will be on for the third time today. Brings up Tate Shamau to the plate with a runner on first base and nobody out in the bottom of the fifth, still tied at 10. And Poole really just hoping to find the zone right now. In his last time out, he had three walks without recording an out. Only had one other ball put in play, and it went over the right field wall. First pitch here to Shamau is missing low for ball number one. And Shamau up for the fourth time today. He is 2-for-3 from the plate. He singled back in the fourth inning his last time up. Also came around to score. Pickoff attempt back towards first base. Head first dive from Harrison Bowman. He's back in safely. And looking a little bit at Bowman. Well, there isn't too much to work off of is the pitch in here is going to miss low for ball number two. Not much to work off of in terms of Northwoods League stats. This is his debut for the Rivets. 2-0 count with the runner on first base. Pitch comes home, and it is low for ball number three. 3-0, and Bowman, who is on first, it's a little bit of a funny story because he and Tristan Krusenberry on the Rafters were actually teammates growing up. 3-0 count comes home. A breaking ball, that misses high. It's ball number four. So back-to-back base runners on free passes. after a hit by pitch and a walk. Brings up Ty Wade to the plate with a runner on first and second and nobody out in the bottom of the fifth. Still tied at 10. And Bowman, the lead runner over at second. Mason Onyade will come in and have a chat with Ashton Poole and make sure that he's feeling all good and maybe talking about pickoff attempts as well. But finishing up with Bowman and Krusenberry, they know each other very well. And when I was talking with Tristan Krusenberry, he was saying initially he was supposed to pitch today. But Krusenberry ended up going in last night's game, and he dominated on that front. But he was supposed to go in the lineup today for the Rafters, and if that were the case, then he would have gotten a chance to take on his former teammate and Harrison Bowman. And he was saying, man, I'm excited for Bowman, but also, hey, go Rafters. Runners on first and second with nobody out in the bottom of the fifth inning. Still tied at 10. Pitch from Poole comes home, and it is in there at the knees for strike number one. 0-1 the count. Ty Wade up at the plate. He's a right-handed hitting first baseman for the Rivets. It's a righty-righty matchup. Wade 0-2 on the game. His last time up, he drew a walk back in the fourth inning. Sends this one over to third on the ground. Picked up by Guerrero. He'll step on the bag, throw to first, and it's in time. Double play. Nice job by Jack Guerrero to record two outs as he stepped on third and then threw it on to first base. First double play turned of the game for the Rafters. It allows Tate Chamau to go over towards second, but that's a big one. Now, two outs in the bottom of the fifth inning. Runner on second base. Tied at 10, it brings up the right-handed hitting, Jace Blaylock. He's crouched down in his stance, sends one high in the air towards deep right field. Kobayashi, a couple tracks back now, he finds it and catches it for out number three. And the Rafters, a big get-right inning from Ashton Poole. No runs on no hits. There were no errors, and there was one left on base. It's 10-10 as we hit the bottom of the... the top of the sixth inning, and the Rafters going to try and do some damage on offense. When we return, this is WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
You're cruising along Highway 54. You're jamming out to your favorite song. You slow down for a red light when out your passenger window, another car revs their engine wanting you to race. Now, at first you're like, no, I can't. But before you finish your thought, the light changes green, your foot slams the gas, your adrenaline is surging. Until your check engine light goes on and reality strikes. Have fun again in your vehicle. Work with the team at Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Well, it's a good one as we are getting into the sixth inning, tied at 10. The Rafters had the lead for the first four innings all the way up until the bottom of the fourth when the Rivets scored five runs to knot it up at 10. So we sit at 10-10 in the top of the sixth inning, and the Rafters will be leading off with Eric Parker, Jack Guerrero, and Pat Costin, the 5-6-7 batters. back against Aiden Wagley, and the first pitch to Parker misses high for ball number one. Parker, the right-handed hitting second baseman for the Rafters. He is going to try and make something happen. It's a righty-lefty matchup. Parker up for the fourth time today. 1-0 count is a foul ball hit straight back off the plate and bouncing back up. And then off to the left side over towards the Rockford dugout. Now a 1-1 count, and the Rafters looking to carry over their momentum from a 10-1 win last night against Lakeshore back at home, and hoping to start off the road trip with a big win. 10-10 in the top of the sixth. 1-1 count coming home to Parker. It is in there for strike number two, a 1-2 count. And Parker, he singled his last time up back in the fourth inning, came around to score as well, in part thanks to a stolen base that he had. 1-2 count on the way from the left-handed pitcher. And firing, this one is crushed high in the air towards deep left field, going back at the warning track, and it's off the wall. Bounces, and Parker is racing for second. He's in there with a stand-up leadoff double here in the top of the sixth. And nearly out of here, but couldn't quite reach up over the tall wall. And that thing goes up quite a bit out there. It's about double the height in left field as it is down in left center. 315 out towards the left field foul pole, and couldn't quite pick up the third home run of the game for the Rafters. So a runner on second and nobody out in the top of the sixth. Still tied at 10, and it brings up the left-handed hitting Jack Guerrero, who watches the first pitch miss low for ball number one. Guerrero up for the fourth time today. He is 1-for-3 in the game. It's a lefty-lefty matchup against Aiden Wagley, and Wagley went 3-up, 3-down in the fifth, but in the sixth, the leadoff double from Eric Parker shows off his batting ability, and Parker already twice he's stolen third base on the season, potentially going to try and steal it for a third time here as that one gets a swing and a miss from Guerrero. 1-1 the count. Guerrero, his last time up, grounded out 6-3 in the fourth inning. Grounded out 4-3 in the second and had an RBI single in the first. 1-1 count to Guerrero. Breaking ball misses outside to bring it 2-1. And well, a single here would likely bring home Parker from second. He's a speedster, and anything towards the outfield would surely bring him home. Guerrero's been swinging a hot bat as of late. It's a 2-1 count on the way, and it's on the outside edge, called for strike number two. On deck, Pat Costin, who has also had a hot bat as of late. Austin's got two hits in the game. Two-two count. Lefty-lefty matchup. Pitch comes home. Guerrero takes it right down the middle for strike number three, and he'll go down with a backwards K. It's the second strikeout of the game for Aiden Wagley, and it brings up Pat Costin to the plate with one out and a runner on second base in the top of the sixth, still knotted at 10. Parker, the go-ahead runner on second. Rafters offense had been clicking through the first three innings, scored 9 runs. They were leading 9-4 entering the bottom of the third. Didn't quite keep the momentum, though, and trying to regain it. Parker thought about taking off, but goes back as the pitch comes across the outside of the zone for strike number one. Now an 0-1 count to Pat Costin, the left-handed hitting catcher out of Indiana University, just a freshman there, and didn't play there this past season. He's got an 0-1 count with the runner on second and one away. Pitch coming home. It's a breaking ball that misses outside. He holds off on the swing, and now a 1-1 count. Costin, his last time up, had an RBI single in the fourth inning. That single sent home Eric Parker after Parker was on third base prior to that. Parker's now on second here in the sixth. It's a 1-1 count to the left-handed hitting catcher. Still a lefty-lefty matchup, and Wagley trying to record the out. He looks back to second, now brings it home, and the pitch is low and outside for ball number two. A 2-1 count to Costin, and Costin back in the third inning, he also singled, and he reached on an error back in the first, an E5. So he's reached all three times as the 2-1 count comes home, and that one misses inside and right off of the elbow guard, and you could hear that one. It's so hard, it sounded like a bat, but Pat Costin will walk on over towards first base. Did not look comfortable, and he takes some time before walking down there as Mike Spears actually goes out to have a check on him. See if he's all right there. And, well, Costin, a key catcher for the Rafters, as both Ashton Zacher and Nick Adrian have been nursing injuries over the past couple of weeks. Zacher is certainly available, but Adrian hasn't played in a little while. Zacher was in concussion protocol for a little bit before having a wrist injury. And, well, during this time, Rivets decide, hey, we want to pull our pitcher. And so stepping out to the mound, Aiden Wagley is going to come out of the game. Wow, a little surprising after Wagley had gone an inning and a third and hadn't allowed a run. But the Rivets say, all right, let's hand it off to a new guy. And so a new pitcher into the game for the Rivets. We'll keep it right here on WFHR. We appreciate you tuning in as always. And during this time, let's go ahead and take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard where Wausau played earlier in the day. And that game is a final score. Wausau won 8-3 against Lakeshore, which means that the Chinooks and the Rafters at this moment are even for fifth place. With a Rafters win tonight, they would move alone into fifth place in the subdivision. That would really help out the confidence of the guys. And along with that, bottom of the eighth inning in Kalamazoo as the Growlers lead 6-5 over Royal Oak. Bottom of the eighth in Battle Creek, Battle Jacks up 11-4 on Traverse City. Green Bay against Madison, that game got suspended. And at the point in time, it was still a no-hitter for the Mallards as they led 5-0. Green Bay didn't pick up a hit, and then the game got suspended. Over in Eau Claire, top of the seventh, and La Crosse up 2-0 on the Express. Bottom of the fifth in Mankato, and it's a 6-4 Hot Tots lead. Over in Fond du Lac, the Kingfish and Dock Spiders have been suspended as well. In St. Cloud, it's a 2-1 Badlands Big Sticks lead in the top of the sixth. In Bismarck, it's 5-0 Larks over Wilmer in the bottom of the sixth. Another suspension in Waterloo as the Bucks and Border Cats were rained out. Over in Duluth, it's an 11-1 lead for the Huskies over the Rochester Honkers in the top of the sixth. And that does it for the out-of-town scoreboard. So we'll bring you back into the game here where the new pitcher coming into the game, he relieves Aiden Wagley after Wagley ended up going his 1 1/3 innings, and his 1 1/3 innings came on just one hit. No runs at this point in time, and he did not walk a batter, struck out two while hitting one with a pitch. No balks, no wild pitches. He faced a total of six batters on 25 pitches and hands it off here to the new guy, the right-hander for the Rivets, Cole Edwards from Excelsior College, as the first pitch comes in and misses inside to Gunnar Miro. Brings the count 1-0, and Cole Edwards looking for a big-time appearance here. He comes from Paragould, Arkansas, senior from Excelsior College, as that pitch misses outside to make it 2-0. And Gunnar Miro, the right-handed hitting center fielder at the plate, it's a righty-righty matchup. And on the season, the numbers for Edwards. He's played in four games as this one is hit towards left field, and that gets down in front of the left fielder. Parker is rounding third. He was sent home, and he is going to make it in there. RBI single for Gunnar Myrow, and the Rafters have taken the lead. It's 11-10 in the top of the sixth inning, and it's on Gunnar Myrow's single. His second hit of the game, his first RBI, also sends Pat Costin over towards second base, and the Rafters are up. And that is big time for the Rafters, trying to regain the momentum, and they get to take on a new pitcher, Cole Edwards. And Edwards on the season, four games played. He started three of those four, but he comes in relief here. Breaking ball misses high to the right-hander, Royce Clayton Jr. Clayton, the right-handed hitting left fielder, is a righty-righty matchup. Clayton is 1-for-2 on the game. Singled back in the fourth inning. That was his last time up and stole a base that time. 1-0 count is on the lower inside corner for strike number one. Prior to that, Clayton drew a walk in the third inning and came around to score. And in the first, grounded into a six unassisted fielder's choice. 1-1 count with runners on first and second and one out in the top of the sixth. Rafters up 11-10. Pitch comes home and Clayton gets a big swing and a miss to bring the count 1-2. And Cole Edwards, a 6.10 ERA on the season. He's got five strikeouts in his 10 and a third innings. Also has an 0-2 record. The one time that he came out of the bullpen prior, it was a save opportunity. 1-2 count. Breaking ball misses high. Now 2-2, and Edwards, his last time out, it was that one-inning appearance against Traverse City where he took a loss. 2-2 count on the way home, and Clayton sends this one high, but too high towards left field. It's going to be pretty easily played and caught out there in left by Jace Blaylock, and that is out number two here in the top of the sixth. F7 in the books, and it leaves Pat Costin on second and Gunnar Myrow on first with two outs and a pinch hitter here for the Rafters as they will turn to Chris Diaz. And Diaz, the left-handed hitting pinch hitter now, he will likely be going into right field as he takes out Hiroto Kobayashi. As Kobayashi had reached twice, but both of those times were on walks. So he went 0-for-2 in the game, and Kobayashi out, Chris Diaz in. And with two away, he steps in with runners on first and second. First pitch misses high for ball number one. And Diaz, you look at him as of late, he had this accidental number change as of late, but he liked the way that he played with the jersey on, so he said, you know what, I'm going to keep it. 1-0 count on home is low for ball number two, a 2-0 count. He's been able to get on base a lot more often since taking over this jersey. He's on a four-game on-base streak. That included a time where he went 3-for-4, reaching base five times back at Madison in game number one as the 2-0 count is in there, called for strike number one. And that was game number one of the doubleheader back on Saturday. That was the first day that he wore the new jersey, number 46. 2-1 count on the way home. This one is hit high in the air towards left field, but it's going to be playable, and it is caught by the left fielder, Jace Blaylock, and that is out number three. So the Rafters are able to manage the go-ahead run. They score one run on the two hits. There were no errors and two left on base. It's 11-10 as we hit the bottom of the sixth. This is WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Meet Jeff. He is having a party. Unfortunately for Jeff, Mother Nature had other ideas. Don't be like Jeff, cold and wet. Call Party Envy Rentals today for any party, big or small, at 715-465-0122.
Make your party even better with Giant Backyard Games. Party Envy is here for your graduations, weddings, corporate picnics, and more. Make your event the talk of the town with Party Envy at 715-465-0122.
Hey, Rafters fans. Don't let online troublemakers steal home. Stay in control with the new My Solaris app. It's a grand slam for parents, letting you monitor and block content, set screen time limits, and keep your family safe online, all from your phone or mobile device. Test your internet speed like a pro, set up guest networks, and prioritize devices to keep your family's MVPs working, streaming, or gaming without a hitch. With My Solaris, you're in command, managing your Wi-Fi like a champ. For more information, visit solaris.net/Wi-Fi. App features vary by internet plan and may require a complimentary equipment upgrade.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
Well, the lights are in full effect here in Rockford, Illinois, as the Raptors have made the 2.5-hour road trip here. But it's going to be a lot longer than that as they are staying overnight. And, well, they have a long road trip ahead of them. Six straight games on the road. They don't return to Wisconsin Rapids until early, early on Saturday night into Sunday morning as they make the overnight trip from Traverse City. However, the Raptors are looking for some of that road luck that they had a little bit earlier in the season when they won three straight in a row, and they also had won four straight road games on the road this season. They actually haven't been too bad, all things considered. First pitch to the batter up, Cade Climie, is called for strike number one. There is a new pitcher on the mound for the Raptors. It's the right-hander, Brent Gallegos, and Gallegos comes into the game as a reliever who takes over for Ashton Poole. 0-1 count to the right-handed hitter, Cade Climie. Righty-righty matchup. Breaking ball that he holds back on, and it misses high. 1-1 count. And Gallegos hoping to keep it an 11-10 game. The Raptors have the one-run lead. They took it in the top of the sixth thanks to the RBI single from Gunnar Myro, and a swing and a miss makes it a 1-2 count to Climie. And Climie, Townsend, Cunningham are due up in the bottom of the frame for the Rivets. Rockford looking to snap a bit of a losing streak. 1-2 count coming home. It's a fastball in there called strike three, and Cade Climie will head back to the dugout after that one painted the lower corner of the zone. And it brings up Tommy Townsend with one away and the bases empty in the bottom of the sixth. So now the left-handed hitting Tommy Townsend stepping up to the plate. And Townsend up for the fourth time today. He's reached all three times prior. Nobody on in front of him, though. And the one-out pitch comes home, and it's a little outside for ball number one, a 1-0 count. And Townsend, 2-for-2. His last time up, he singled. That picked up two RBIs. Also came around to score. Back in the third, he walked and came around to score. 1-0 count coming home. This one's ripped towards second. Picked up by Parker. Nice play. He'll throw from his feet, but it wasn't quick enough. He took it lazy and couldn't quite get the throw in time. Wanted to make sure that he got it in there and not make a mistake. It was an accurate throw, but Eric Parker not able to make the play over there at second, and so Tommy Townsend over towards first base. Officially, it goes in as an E4, and that's Parker's second error of the game. Previously made the error in the first inning that allowed Tate Shimao to advance towards second. Now first pitch to the new batter, Connor Cunningham. It's in there for strike number one. Cunningham up to the plate for the fourth time. He is 1-for-3 in the game. His last time up, though, it was a big double in the fourth inning. 0-1 count coming home, and it's fouled back to make it 0-2. And Cunningham, he had that double down that right field line that hopped over the wall. It was a ground rule double back in the fourth inning. 0-2 the count with one out and a runner on first. Pitch coming home. It's low and bounces away from Costin. It's a 1-2 count, and Tommy Townsend over to second on the wild pitch. A.J. Malzone is on deck for the Rivets. But Cunningham, now out of worry of getting the double play, doesn't have to worry about that anymore. No runner on first base. It's a runner on second with one out in the bottom of the sixth. 11-10 Rafters. Gallegos fires. Fastball misses low and outside. It's a 2-2 count. Gallegos, one of the two-way players for the Rafters, sends a little bit of time, and in both, more recently, he has been doing a lot more pitching than he has hitting. 2-2 count comes home. This one's ripped towards the right side of the field. Parker is there. He'll pick it up. Slow throw here. He falls down, but makes the throw over to first, and Parker is on the ground, and well, he just tripped right there, but he's taken a while to get back up. Did make the throw, though. And the runner moves over to third base, so it's a 4-3 put out. As Tommy Townsend, now on third base, has A.J. Malzone up at the plate. And Malzone trying to make something happen. It's a one-run Rafters lead as the first pitch to him is in there for strike number one. It's an 0-1 count, and Malzone, left-handed hitting catcher. It's a lefty-righty matchup. Gallegos looks back, now gets ready to fire, comes home with it, and this one is hit into left field. That ties the game. RBI single from A.J. Malzone. And it is now 11-11 in the bottom of the sixth. And that is a big hit for them as Tommy Townsend comes home as what will be an unearned run. And you've seen that all too many times this season for the Rafters. Unearned runs are part of the game at this point, as that pitch misses high for ball number one. And well, it's something that Ziggy has expressed his frustration with. Says that's the focus right now, is we got to play clean baseball. 1-0 count, it's outside for ball number two. And even with the errors that the Rafters have made, they're still in this game thanks to some great offense. It's 11-11 with the runner on first base. Pitch comes home from Gallegos. It's hit up the middle off the inside of the bat. Barehanded and no throw from Oñate. He fakes the throw, throws it back to second. Picked up by Parker. Now they got him in a pickle in between second and third, and they will tag him as that goes weirdly into the books, as eventually it'll be put down as a 6-4-5 unassisted play, and that is certainly interesting. It's a fielder's choice, 6-4. No, it's I believe that's a single, actually, as both runners had reached, and then A.J. Malzone out on the base paths on the single. So either way, it is 11-11. We hit the top of the seventh here on WFHR Wisconsin Rap.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey baseball fans, are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of the Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Now, let's get back to exciting Raptors baseball here on WFHR.
Still a fun game as we hit the top of the seventh inning. It's 11-11 as each team has kind of been answering one another with runs of their own. And the Raptors did have a big lead earlier in the game. It was 10-5 in the middle of the fourth. But a five-run bottom of the fourth tied it up 10-10. And since that point, the Rivets have been mirroring what the Raptors have done on offense. So up to make the model as the first pitch by Mason Onyade is fouled back to bring it to an 0-1 count. And Raptors hoping to put the right foot forward here. Mason Onyade, Matanaco, and Andre Meduño do up. Second pitch here is again a swing and a miss from Onyade. 0-2 count. Onyade up for the fifth time today. He is 1-for-4 in the game. His last time up, grounded out 5-3 on the putout. 0-2 count comes home. It's high for ball number one. 1-2, and back out on the mound for the Rivets, Cole Edwards, who was pretty good in that sixth inning. Although he did allow the RBI single, it was an inherited run. So a 1-2 count on the way home. It is low for ball number two, 2-2. And Mason Onyade, prior to that ground out, he had an RBI double in the third inning. 2-2 count on the way home. It's a lefty-righty matchup. Pitch coming from Edwards, a check swing, and it misses outside for ball number three. 3-2 count, and a tough one to hold up on. Just missed that strike zone. So 3-2 with Matanaco on deck. This one is fouled back to keep the count 3-2. And Rivets trying to get in the win column as you look at their recent stretch, and hasn't really gone their way, to say the least. They've lost five straight. They're 3-7 in their last 10. And fastball misses high for ball number four to Mason Onyade. So a seven-pitch walk as he eventually works his way onto first. And it brings up Matanaco to the plate with a runner on first and nobody out in the top of the seventh. However, a pinch hitter as the Raptors are going to turn to J.J. Garcia instead of Matanaco. And, well, that'll be interesting to see how the field is changed, but I assume what that means is that J.J. Garcia, after he pinch hits for Matanaco, Garcia is going to go to third base. Guerrero is going to go to first. That's probably what's going to happen after Garcia pinch hits for Matanaco. So he'll step up with a runner on first base and nobody out, and shows bunt, but he takes it back as the runner takes off for second, and they got him. Mason Onyade caught stealing for the first time this season. And you knew eventually it was going to happen, but he had a great jump on that one. It was just a phenomenal throw from A.J. Malzone that got him out. So after 19 stolen bases, he finally is caught for the first time. 1-0 count to Garcia is up. No, it's called for a strike. Now a 1-1 count to the right-handed hitting pinch hitter. And a 1-1 count on the way home. It's high for ball number two, 2-1. And Garcia, he's hoping to stay pretty hot as his last game, he was really good last night. 2-1 count, misses high, makes it 3-1. Yesterday, he ended up going 2-for-4 with a pair of RBIs thanks to a double Also had two runs in the game. 3-1 count. It is in there for strike number two. Now it's 3-2 to the right-handed hitter. Now, a little interesting that Matt and Aka would come out of the game here. They're both right-handed hitters. And it's a righty-righty matchup as a swing and a miss here from Garcia puts him down on strikes for out number two after Oñate was retired on the base paths. So two up, two down in the seventh, and it brings up Andre Madueño to the plate for his fifth plate appearance. And since Matt and Aka and Andre Madueño had those back-to-back home runs in the second, neither of them have gotten on base in their next five plate appearances. There was one sack fly mixed in there, but outside of that, they're 0-4. As the first pitch to Madueño misses low and inside, it's ball number one. And Madueño, the right-handed hitting DH, he is 2-for-4 in the game. His last time up, he struck out swinging back in the fifth. Also grounded into a 5-3 putout to end the third inning. 1-0 count on the way home, and the breaking ball misses high for ball number two as Madueño kind of ducked out of the way as he thought it was about to hit his head. So now a 2-0 count, and prior to those last two at-bats, Madueño was 2-for-2. 2-0 count. This one is hit high in the air towards straightaway center field. Running up on it, it is caught by Harrison Bowman for out number three. So the Rafters see the minimum, three batters, no runs, no hits, no errors, and nobody left. It's 11-11 in the bottom of the seventh here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
Make a splash this summer on your brand new jet ski. It's Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa's Ride the Wave giveaway. Earn entries now to have a chance to win not one, but two Kawasaki jet skis on June 28th. Also, multiple winners of cash prizes of up to $1,000. On weekends, it's Summer Night Rewards. Receive $25 in free rewards play. And on Sundays, spin the Sunny Money Wheel to win up to $500 in cash. Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, your place to play.
Must be 21. See Ho-Chunk Gaming representative for more details.
Summer is here and construction zones are everywhere. With crews working diligently, it's crucial to stay vigilant for nails and screws on the road. After all, a flat tire can quickly derail your day. If you discover a nail or screw in your tire, head straight to 8th Street Auto. Their expert team will not only assess your tire, but also conduct a thorough inspection of your vehicle to help prevent future issues. Trust the certified professionals at 8th Street Auto to ensure your vehicle is in top shape so you can hit the road confidently and fully prepared for your next adventure.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
And as anticipated, the defensive changes that I had hinted at earlier did indeed take place as J.J. Garcia does officially go over to third base and Jack Guerrero goes over to first base. So those are the defensive changes as the Rafters turn back to Brent Gallegos for the bottom of the seventh. The first pitch here is going to miss to Harrison Bowman for ball number one. And Bowman up for the fifth time today. He is 2-for-3 in the game. 1-0 count with nobody on in the bottom of the seventh. Pitch comes home from Gallegos and it misses low for ball two. 2-0 the count. And Gallegos, he allowed the one run to come across in the sixth inning, but it was an unearned run at that. 2-0 count coming home, gets a swing and a miss to bring it 2-1, and the Rafters are hoping for a big win here, but it's going to take some strong pitching down the stretch, and they've got what it takes. Guys like Tony Torres haven't been used in a little bit. Jafet Martinez is ready. 2-1 count is going to miss inside for ball number three. It's now 3-1. And so if Brent Gallegos is able to go through two innings here, that'd be huge. That they can then turn to the one-inning guys like a Martinez or a Torres. 3-1 count on the way home. It is inside for ball number four. And a five-pitch walk to Harrison Bowman does bring into question whether or not Gallegos will be able to work through the inning. And looking at Gallegos' last time out, he went two innings pitched, allowing just one unearned run on one hit and one walk against Madison back in game number one on that doubleheader day. He pitched two scoreless innings back on June 4th against Fond du Lac as well earlier in the month, as this pitch misses low and outside for ball number one to make it to a 1-0 count. And so he's got a couple of really good appearances. Started off the season really struggling at retiring batters. 1-0 count is fouled back to bring it 1-1. And at one point in the season, over I think it was two or three games, he was allowing opponents a batting average of north of 600. Well, that's slowly been dropping back down. Right now, just barely over 300, and maybe even dropped a little bit lower. 1-1 count, runner taking off from first. It misses way outside. Costin's not able to grab it. It goes to the backstop, and it's a wild pitch that sends Harrison Bowman into scoring position. And that is the go-ahead run in the game here in the bottom of the seventh. Rafters trying to close it out strong. Their offense was lights out in the early onset part of the game. They led 10-5 entering the bottom of the fourth inning, but five runs in that inning tied it up, and since then, it's been back and forth as this pitch is fouled back by Tate Shamau to bring the count 1-2. And Shamau, the right-handed hitting second baseman, he is up for the fifth time today. He's reached his last three times. Back in the first inning, he made it on base on a fielder's choice as well. 2-2, the count on the way home to Shamau, and full swing, but he will watch it miss outside for ball number three. Now a full count to Shamau as a runner on second base with nobody out in the bottom of the seventh. Gallegos trying to finish him off. He looks back to second, now brings it home with the pitch, and it is inside for ball number four, and that's back-to-back walks to lead off the seventh inning. Didn't miss by much on that pitch, but it's a walk nonetheless, and Mike Spears will come out here to have a chat with Gallegos and make sure that he's feeling good. Gallegos now up to 27 pitches on the game. He's allowed two hits, two walks. And along with that, an error allowed another runner to reach, and he's only retired two batters at the plate. Cade Climie and Connor Cunningham back in the sixth inning. A bunch of the hitters have been doing well for the Rivets against Gallegos, so he's hoping to bring it back in, and he'll stay out there as he takes on Ty Wade. And Wade stepping up to the plate now. This will be his fifth plate appearance as he's struggled today. And more importantly, he's also already hit into a double play. Back in the fifth inning, he hit into one. And now with runners on first and second and nobody out, the Rafters are set up for the double play. Pitch coming home from Gallegos. He shows bunt, but it misses outside for ball number one. It's 1-0, and Wade, the right-handed hitting first baseman, his last time up was that double play. Back in the fourth inning, it was a walk. It's the one time he's been on base. He came around to score on it, though. 1-0 count, swings and misses. Full swing there, and now a 1-1 count. And back in the first and second innings, Ty Wade struck out swinging, so he is 0-3 on the game. 1-1 count with runners on first and second. Tied at 11 in the bottom of the seventh. Shows bunt. Fouls it back. One and two count, and not what Wade wanted to do, and likely no more bunt from Wade. Jace Blaylock is on deck, and Blaylock is one for four in the game. Another guy who's picked up a hit but hasn't been necessarily hot today. Showing bunt. This one is fouled off, and that means that it's an out as he tried to place down the bunt but couldn't get it in fair territory. So that is out number one and keeps the runners on first and second. Officially, it goes as a strikeout for Gallegos. His second strikeout of the game, and it brings up Jace Blaylock to the plate with runners on first and second and one out in the bottom of the seventh. Still tied 11-11. Righty-righty matchup. This pitch is sent high in the air towards right field, coming up on it, and it can't be caught by Diaz. He will pick it up, and it's a single as he will now finally throw it home to Pat Costin after the runner was taking a while to move off of third. Bowman now back at the bag, and the bases are loaded. Single from Jace Blaylock puts Tate Shamau on second base and Harrison Bowman on third. Runners on every bag. One out in the bottom of the seventh. A double play could end the inning, but a lot of damage could be done. And the right-hander, Cade Climie, steps up to the plate. Climie, a righty-righty matchup. He's the designated hitter, takes the first pitch low for ball number one. 1-0 the count, and Climie up for the fifth time today. He is 2-for-4 in the game. He's already got a pair of RBIs. His last time up, though, it was a strikeout looking in the sixth. 1-0 count. He holds off on it, and it misses low for ball two. 2-0 the count. Climie, back in the fourth inning, he had a RBI double that he also came around to score on. In the third inning, he lined out to third, and in the first, he had an RBI single. 2-0 count. It misses low. Ball three. Go-ahead runner is on third base in the bottom of the seventh. Bases are loaded, and so no free bag for a walk. Gallegos has got to find the strike zone here. 3-0 count on the way from Gallegos, and it's a swing and a miss for strike number one, and big swing and a miss from Climie. He was trying to put one over the wall and make it a four-run game. But instead, now a 3-1 count. Gallegos still got to find the zone. Hoping to send it home, he takes a deep breath, brings it in, and it is in there on the lower part of the zone for strike number two. Now a full count, 3-2. On third, it's Harrison Bowman. On second, Tate Shamau. On first, it's Jace Blaylock. 3-2 count with one away. They are juiced in a tie ball game in the bottom of the 11th. Gallegos brings the leg up. He fires, swing, and a miss for strike number three. And that's a big one. Third strikeout of the game for Brent Gallegos. And there are now two outs in the bottom of the seventh. Brings up Tommy Townsend to the plate with two away and a runner on every bag in a 11-11 game in the bottom of the seventh. Townsend, the left-handed hitting right fielder, takes the first pitch right at the letters for strike number one. 0-1 the count, and Townsend, he has been hot today. 2-for-3 in the game, but he's been on base all four times he stepped up. 0-1 count coming home from Gallegos. It's low and away, now 1-1. Back in the sixth inning, that was his last time up, Townsend reached on an error and came around to score. In the fourth inning, it was a 2-RBI single, also came around to score. Third inning, it was a one-out walk that he also came around to score on. He scored three times today. Only time that he didn't was back in the first inning when he had an RBI single and was stranded at first. So a 1-1 count. Bases still loaded with two away in the bottom of the seventh. Gallegos trying to work out of a shutout frame. The pitch coming home. It is a little outside for ball number two and a 2-1 count. On deck, Connor Cunningham, who ripped a double earlier in the game but is 1-for-4. But you've got to work with Tommy Townsend right now. 2-1 count coming home. This one is ripped towards left field. On the run, Clayton, and he will make the catch on the liner for out number three. A big-time, high-pressure situation, and somebody has been tossed as I'm not sure who just got ejected there, but we will find out in the break. Either way, no runs on the one hit. No errors, and three left on base. It's 11-11 entering the eighth. This is WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go